Do keep your Bible open on page 1187. And if you open up your order of service, you can see just inside that on the right side there, there's an outline to help us as we continue in our teaching series here at St. Peter's, looking at this early letter from the Christian church, the letter written by the Apostle Paul and his companions Silas and Timothy to these new Christians, this little tiny church in Thessalonica. Well, as we continue in that, let me lead us in a prayer, asking for God's help. Father, thank you that this ancient letter that was from one Christian to some other Christians has been preserved by you, that you've ensured that we can have access to it now, that it forms part of our Bible because of the help that it can be to us as we seek to understand what it means to be followers of Jesus Christ today here in London in a different time and in a different place. But you knew that this has got wisdom and truth in it for us. And we pray that as we therefore look at this portion of it, you would bring that light and truth into our lives, into our hearts and minds, to help us and strengthen us now. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to begin by telling you our family, the Standring family plans for the bank holiday tomorrow. Becky, my wife and I, were planning on doing a walk like we did last bank holiday Monday, but then we've got a 16-year-old, Miriam. She's doing her GCSEs. She's revising hard. She'll be left alone all day, so we thought that would be a bit tough on her. And then Lizzie, our second daughter, is heading off tomorrow for a debriefing after her gap year in the Gambia. And Jess, our youngest daughter, is heading off down to Exeter to visit her eldest sister, Polly, who's at university down there. Now, I also need to do some work tomorrow. I'm preparing for a talk next weekend. So all in all, I think the Standring family will be heading in different ways and not having perhaps as much fun as we thought we were going to. Why am I telling you about our bank holiday plans, which I'm sure you no doubt found riveting as you heard them unfold? Well, because in our reading today from 1 Thessalonians, Paul and Silas and Timothy, who wrote this letter, writing to the Christians in Thessalonica, which you can see as a map shows you exactly where Thessalonica, they're writing to tell them in this part of the letter of their plans to visit them and then how those plans changed and why they changed and then what actually happened instead. Now, just a little bit of background. Three Christians, Paul, Silas, Timothy, they were the first Christians to ever take the gospel to Thessalonica. And they spent three very eventful weeks in that city. And some of the people there, as a result of that visit, believed the gospel and they actually became Christians. They put their trust in Jesus Christ. But others, and perhaps the majority of the people living there, got really, really angry with Paul and Silas and Timothy coming to their city and telling them the gospel. And in fact, they had to escape the town in the dead of night to escape an angry mob. You can read all about that, at those events in Acts 17, if you're interested. And so now, here they are, Paul, Silas, and Timothy, writing to explain what they've been up to since they were run out of town, where they've been, and how they wanted to come back for another visit, but they couldn't, and how in the end they sent Timothy on his own. And if you look back in our Bibles at our reading, to the verse just after the reading ended, to verse 6 of chapter 3, they write this: "But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He's told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us, just as we also long to see you." So Timothy now, having visited the Christians in Thessalonica, has come back to Paul and Silas and he's told them how they're doing. And that's what prompts this letter that we've got in our Bibles, 1 Thessalonians. Now, hearing about other people's travel plans and change of travel plans isn't exactly riveting, as you discovered a moment ago. So instead of drilling down into the detail of those plans in this passage, what I want to do is actually put that to one side this morning, and instead look at what lies behind these plans. what they're about. And that is sharing the gospel. All these plans and change of plans come about because of Christians who are passionate about sharing the good news about Jesus with other people who don't know that, so that they too can become Christians. And they're doing everything they can to that end. Well, I want us to look, if you like, therefore, behind these travel plans to tell us, to show us what it looks like to do everything you can to share the gospel with others. And here's a quick chart coming up on the screen to see how what's written here can relate to us. Paul and Silas and Timothy, they traveled to different countries. They traveled abroad to share the gospel with others. That's over on one side, you can see on that chart. But most of us are over on the other side, over on the left-hand side. We're doing the same thing, but we're doing it right here where we live and work, sharing the gospel with others. It's on a spectrum according to how far you've traveled to do that, but it's all the same thing. So four things you can see. They're on the outline to help us in our context and to understand what it might mean for us to share the gospel passionately. So the first off is when you share the gospel with others, you create deep relationships. You create deep relationships. Have a look at how our reading begins in chapter 2, verse 17. But brothers and sisters, when we were orphaned by being separated from you for a short time, in person, not in thought, out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you. The language there is so, so strong. This has gone beyond friendship. This is now family. You see, speaking about being orphaned by being separated from these Christians. And the emotions behind the words, they're so powerful. An intense longing they speak of. We made every effort to see you. And it's the same if you look down in chapter 3, verse 1. So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves. And we sent Timothy, who's our brother and co-worker in God's service. Or just look down to the last verse of our reading, chapter 3, verse 5. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. Sharing the gospel with others and being passionate about that creates deep relationships and bonds of friendships with those people. But then that is also true of lots of things that we get up to as human beings where we're working together with others that we're passionate about, where it's maybe a challenge, something hard, and we overcome adversity, and then we're bound together by that experience. You may have had that experience maybe at work, at a particularly intense period of work. Work is busy, you're working on a project with a team, and that team pulls together, and you feel that sense of companionship. Of course, it famously happens to soldiers in a time of war under extreme duress. They become brothers in arms. They become comrades, band of brothers. And it happened, I'm glad to say, at Wembley yesterday with Fulham football fans, the playoffs for the Premiership. We were facing an immense challenge and we were bound together in that cauldron of intensity and we won as well, which also helps. So is sharing the gospel with others just the same as that? Creating the same sort of intense human relationships? Well, no, it's actually more than that. If you look at verse 19 of chapter 2. For what is our hope, writes Paul and Silas and Timothy, what is our joy or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you, that is you Christians in Thessalonica? Indeed, you are our glory and our joy. The deep relationships that you form by sharing the gospel with other people are relationships that will last into eternity. They'll last forever. And that's what makes this different from other human occupations and endeavors. Paul gives us here a wonderful little glimpse of the future when the Lord Jesus Christ will return to this world. Who will be his hope and his joy and the crown that he glories in on that day and then forever after? It's these Christians that he's writing to. Why? Because he shared the gospel with them and they became Christians through that. And I particularly like this image of them being his crown. It's a bit like this picture up on the screens. Imagine that day in the future. And if you're a Christian, you'll be there. And you will be given a crown, just like this, by Jesus when he comes. And it's made up of all the people in your life who you've ever shared the gospel with, who maybe have become a Christian through what you've told them about Jesus, or who've been encouraged and strengthened to keep going as Christians in their lives through you. Each person that you have formed a deep relationship with through sharing the gospel with them will make up your crown. In other words, will be what you spend eternity rejoicing in and enjoying their company in heaven because of you. It's worth thinking about for a moment, isn't it? Who will be in my crown when the Lord Jesus returns? Who will be in heaven because of me? Now, we won't know necessarily the answer to that question until we get there, and there may be a few surprises. Maybe there will be some there that we're totally unaware of, that something that we said, something that we shared with them was such a huge help and encouragement to them. Now, this is meant to be an encouragement to us to share the gospel with others right here where we are, and to enjoy the benefits of that deep, eternal relationships with them because of that. But if we can't think of anyone who might be in our crown, we might want to do something about that while we have the opportunity to. We might want to get busier in sharing the gospel with others. Deep eternal relationships. Second thing that we see here in this passage about sharing the gospel with others is that when we do, we should expect spiritual opposition. When we do, we should expect spiritual opposition. Have a look with me at chapter 2, verse 18. For we wanted to come to you, certainly I, Paul, did, again and again, but Satan blocked our way. And then again, look down to the last verse, chapter 3, verse 5. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter had tempted you, and that our labors might have been in vain. Now, I don't know what you think about Satan, who is also described as the tempter in verse 5. The Apostle Paul is convinced this personal evil force in the universe lay behind his failed attempts to get to Thessalonica on a number of occasions, and would be hard at work trying to tempt these new Christians to give up their faith as soon as possible. Now, he doesn't elaborate here on how he thought Satan was blocking his way or how Satan was tempting these Christians to give up the faith. But he is aware that this sort of spiritual opposition is a real thing. And it comes when we are engaged in sharing the gospel with others. And he wants us to be aware of that, not to be ignorant of that. So, when you maybe invite a friend or a housemate or a neighbor to, say, the women's dinner or the men's barbecue, to an event here at church, and they say no, or they keep on saying no because you keep on inviting them, or they say yes to shut you up, and then they don't come. Have you ever wondered about why that's happening? It's not because you're doing something wrong, because you're asking them in the wrong way, because you're annoying them. It's because Satan is hard at work. He is committed to spiritually opposing any efforts to share the good news of Jesus with others. It's not in his interests for that to succeed. Or if you are a new Christian here at St. Peter's, or even maybe not such a new one, and maybe you found yourself having serious doubts about whether what you believe about Jesus is true, And you've wondered about actually giving up the Christian faith altogether. Have you ever thought about why you've had those doubts? It's not necessarily because you're doing anything wrong. Satan is hard at work. He's committed to spiritually opposing the sharing of the gospel and the taking root of the gospel in your life. Now, if you think that all sounds a little bit far-fetched and primitive for a modern secular outlook on life, it's just not what happens in London today. Satan is absolutely delighted that you take that view because it gives him a free hand to be at work in your life. Deep eternal relationships, serious, although not ultimately successful, spiritual opposition. Third thing, when we share the gospel with others, we strengthen and encourage their faith. We strengthen and encourage their faith. Have a look at chapter 3, verse 2. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and co-worker in God's service in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith. How did these Christians in Thessalonica become Christians in the first place? What had to happen in their lives? Well, Paul and Silas and Timothy went to Thessalonica and shared the gospel with them, and some of them believed it. How does Timothy encourage and strengthen these Christians in their newfound faith? Exactly the same way. Exactly the same way. He goes there to share the gospel with them. Not because they didn't know the gospel, or because they'd forgotten it, or because they'd been tempted to doubt it. Because it was because hearing the gospel again and again and again, once you've believed the gospel, is the most powerful and encouraging and strengthening thing that can happen to you as a Christian. Once you've believed the gospel, that is, you know in your heart that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross, and that because of that, God is able to forgive you and give you eternal life. Once you know that that is true for you personally, not just sort of abstractly true, you never tire of hearing that again and again and again. And when you do, it adds like another layer of strength to what you already believe. What makes you a Christian is what keeps you a Christian, is what strengthens and encourages you as a Christian. It's one of the reasons why Christians here at St. Peter's, why we do this, why we gather together to hear from the Bible, to sing to each other. It's why we gather together in small groups in the middle of the week to study the Bible. It's why many people here are in the habit of reading the Bible for themselves, day by day. It's not to find out new information or more facts about God that they didn't already know. It's to hear again and again and again what they already do know about God and be strengthened and encouraged by that. So let me say again, if you're a new Christian here at St. Peter's, or even if you're not such a new one, doing something like reading the Bible with another Christian, we call it here doing one-to-one Bible study, is one of the things that we offer here because it's so effective in doing exactly this, strengthening, encouraging faith. If you're not involved in something like that, I'd love to encourage you to benefit from that kind of ministry. Maybe you'd like to ask me about that over coffee. Just quick show of hands, who here in this church is involved in that kind of one-to-one meeting up with another Christian to read the Bible to be strengthened and encouraged? Put your hand up. There we go. So don't just take my word for it, okay? Maybe you want to talk to them and find out why they find that so encouraging. Thank you. Put your hands down. Deep relationships, eternal, that go on for eternity. Spiritual opposition. Faith being strengthened and encouraged. Last thing for us to see, that when you share the gospel with others, you should expect persecution. Don't expect everyone to love you for doing this. Chapter 3, verse 3, in our reading. Let me just read from verse 2 to get the flow. We sent Timothy, who's our brother and co-worker in God's service in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. For you know quite well that we are destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted. And it turned out that way, as you well know. So Paul there is referring to what happened to them in Thessalonica when they went there to share the gospel. And they had to leave in the middle of the night in fear of their lives to escape an angry mob. But he's not just saying trials and persecutions was something that he and his companions could expect in that particular place, or something that they were destined for. Look what he said in another city where he traveled to. There's some words coming up on the screen. They preached the gospel in that city, a city called Derbe, and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to some other cities, Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them, see the same thing they're doing, to remain true to the faith, saying, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. We must go through many hardships. Or later he wrote these words. This time he's writing to Timothy. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So, says Paul, expect it. If you're serious about wanting to live a godly life, that is, live a life as a follower of Jesus Christ, you will be persecuted. Don't be unsettled by that. Don't be surprised by it. He says in verse 4 of our reading, in fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted, and it turned out that way, as you well know. And that's the way it will turn out for us, too, if we get on and share the gospel right here where we live and work in this city. Now, we may not find ourselves confronted with an angry mob and have to escape Fulham in the middle of the night under the cover of darkness. But if we're serious about this, and if we get on and take the risk of sticking our head above the parapet, telling other people the good news about Jesus, we will at some point find people get annoyed with us for doing that. We might find that people blank us or gossip about us at work or exclude us from whatever it is that's going on. They might even, as they did in Thessalonica, get angry with us and want to silence us or at least tell us to shut up. I'm fully expecting in my lifetime that if we were to carry on believing what we believe now as Christians, and if we carry on not just believing it ourselves, but sharing it with others, then in this country we will begin to get into serious difficulty with the authorities. Why? Well, because we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. The peace and the freedom that we have enjoyed in this country to share the gospel over the last 1,000 years is highly unusual. It's not normal. And as this country moves away rapidly from its Christian heritage, as Christians, we can expect a more normal and therefore a more hostile response. When we share the gospel with others, if we're willing to do that, we create deep, eternal relationships that we will enjoy forever. We can expect to experience spiritual opposition. We need to be aware of that, not naive. We will, in doing this, strengthen and encourage not just our own faith, but the faith of others. And we should expect people not to love us for doing that. Well, why don't I lead us in a prayer that we would be followers of Jesus Christ, just like that, for his glory. Let me lead us in a prayer now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the peace and the freedom that we have enjoyed and continue to enjoy in this country as Christians, both to believe what we believe and to share what we believe. And we pray that that would continue for as long as possible. But we pray too that if at some point that begins to change and attitudes begin to harden against Christian faith, we pray that we might be those who are willing not just to be known as Christians, but are willing to continue to share this good news, that we wouldn't hide, that we wouldn't be full of fear, that we wouldn't despair or doubt ourselves. Please would you enable us to both believe and to share the gospel, and particularly then also to enjoy the eternal encouragement of that crown of glory that we'll share, that we're given by you forever. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.